Imagine being able to travel to any point in time. Where would you go? And what would you do? You could witness some of the greatest moments in history.
That's gotta be Kane! Break it down!
Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in for another great episode of Turnbuckle Time Machine. We got another good one for you. This is season 5, episode 26. 26.
If you're Bret Hart, you'd be like, 24, 05, oh, it's 26. 26.
26.
I need more time.
For the 26th time, we are in Des Moines, Iowa, ladies and gentlemen.
Des Moines, you think Iowa, Des Moines.
What'd you think of this Raw, Tom?
So, this is like drama-filled, somewhat action-packed, but more just drama story.
It's a bit heavy.
It's heavy. It's a lot of content. You have at least 15 minutes of just of storytelling, not like in-ring storytelling, just actual someone telling a story, mm-hmm. and then someone else rebutting that story and telling their version of that story.
It's more of a court case, really.
This is like if everyone says wrestling's like the male soap operas, this is like almost like this is a real soap opera.
This is, yeah.
Because there's some heavy stuff to deal with.
Because whose dirty panties were in the trunk of his car?
You know, it's
who's she don't wear panties. Oh, by the way, guys.
Oh, don't spoil. We gotta get there.
I won't. But
this even add that to this whole thing. You got this a whole affair, assorted affair. But we'll get into it.
This is everything we've ever wanted and more. Something tells me when we went back in time, we had to have done something.
Do you ever see those?
Like, they're obviously fake, either TikTok or like YouTube.
I think you have mustard on your face.
Oh,
I thought you were supposed to be a professional podcaster. And you got mustard on your face.
Well, I had a DoorDash ever since you got McDonald's. I had to get
McDonald's.
And what I did was
good looking DoorDash. If you're watching DoorDash, Jake, see if I told them.
Is it gone? Where's that?
What
is it gone?
No, it's like up here on the other side though.
Mm.
Yeah,
I'll just play with it. I'll put this here.
Yeah, no, it's cool.
Speaking of. Shout out to, I got DoorDash because Tom had McDonald's earlier and then, you know, I got to have McDonald's. So I got McDonald's at DoorDash while we're watching this Raw. And he goes, so chicks just bring you McDonald's? I'm like, yeah. And I go, and it was like silence for like the last 12 minutes. I go, hey, by the way, that was the hottest DoorDasher that's ever came to my house. And she was a 4.
Yeah, but she's a 4.
Still the hottest DoorDasher. Shout out to Morgan.
But she's a 4, but she brings you McDonald's whenever you pay for it online.
Is that like the memes that are like, yeah, he's a 10, yeah,
but this is
she's
a
4?
She's a 4, but she brings you McDonald's.
We need more of that, because there's always he's a 10, but she's a 10, but they're not all 10s.
Yeah. No, but like she brings you McDonald's in certain situations. You do things to her that you would only do to a 10.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like I'm a 10, but I won't let you.
But you DoorDash McDonald's after eating Chinese.
Yeah, and I won't let you look in the crawl space.
You know, I think I. Do you ever want to look in the crawl space?
No.
No.
You shouldn't.
Exactly.
Keep it shut.
Keep it shut.
Avoid the smells.
Stinky.
It's just hawk down there. It's just a dead hawk.
Crawl space.
Just a dead hawk. That's all. A lot of drama, a lot of storytelling. We're getting right there. That's got to be close to what we're shooting for.
As our intro's playing today, and we know everything that happens here, we're getting close to the first, you know, you could be present for whatever the craziest moments, greatest moments in time.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's going to be the first one of all of the series of those that we have in our intro. So I think that is a milestone.
Yeah, I will also say maybe, just maybe, a couple episodes ago, the last Objection, Your Honor.
Objection, Your Honor.
No Clarence, maybe, in the future?
I don't know.
Where does he go?
And after this episode, I don't know about Ahmed either.
I know.
Well, let's get into it. We got a lot to cover here.
We do have a lot to cover. This season 5, episode 26. And this is the last Raw until our next pay-per-view.
Right, so we got this. I imagine it's an In Your House Calgary Stampede.
That's the weird thing about it. This has not been promoted at all.
Not promoted well at all. It's been really just that one match they're talking about, but now we get some more info on other matches. So we're going to get a Mankind versus someone, Triple H. Again. So yeah. Rematch of the final.
Undertaker-Vader.
Undertaker-Vader for the championship. So that kind of goes after what they were doing last week.
Uh-huh.
And is there anything else? Was that it?
The 5-on-5.
Yeah, and the 5-on-5. So
basically, yeah. I mean,
so that's all we know.
Probably
so we might
have
get
like
some
the guy wins versus Headbangers or something.
Oh,
I'm sure.
No, because there. Yeah, it might be that. We'll see. We'll get to it next episode, obviously.
So. Yeah. So we are starting the Raw with Ken Shamrock.
Well, of course.
And he is going to be up against the 1997 King of the Ring champion himself, Hunter Hearst.
Hit him with a little Triple H.
Helmsley. And outside the ring, Ken Shamrock falls in the hands of China, and China throws Ken Shamrock into the stairs.
Yeah, pretty aggressive. This whole match, Triple H kind of mocking Ken Shamrock. It's like boxing,
MMA stuff.
Ultimate Fairy Championship.
That's a good one. That's a really good one.
I just came up with it.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow, that's very quick-witted.
Yeah.
You probably
had
time to write
that
one. Yeah, a lot of time to write that one. Mankind comes out. What's he doing?
Well, we just said he's got a match against them, and they've got this rivalry stemming from Triple H cheating and throwing him headfirst through a table, which was wild.
Very wild.
That was a great
spot. Best pay-per-view we've seen so far. If you haven't seen that out, check that out.
Swipe up, watch King
of
the
Ring, 1997.
Jinx. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Thanks again.
Okay, good.
I'm going to do it one episode when I have a lot to say and there's
like
something.
Yeah, because I'm like, you're like, yeah, Clarence Mason, right? and you're trying to get me,
Jason, Your Honor.
And Triple H is distracted because Mankind is coming out and Ken Shamrock is just going to do his finisher, which is just kind of like a German suplex, belly to belly.
Like a belly-to-belly suplex, which is his finisher, which is kind of a lame finisher.
Yeah. You know what? I will say this regarding Ken Shamrock. I do kind of like the fact that, obviously, we know he's not a wrestler. When I say that, I mean, like, superstar. But he does find a way to, like, it's like you can't go all-in superstar. You need to kind of have your background. So he kind of does play this well of being, like, a hybrid. Because it is, like, old, like wrestling, but he does some like,
he's technically sound, even though he doesn't have a background in WWF wrestling. But he is, you know, he's in that kind of realm of already, you got to imagine they're good. I was actually talking with Ruby Soho's ex-boyfriend about this, and it seems like you get these characters who are actually athletic people in a fighting sport like wrestling, Ultimate Fight, or I should say MMA, maybe even boxing to a degree, but more of those like kind of where wrestling is part of it. They don't have a character, a well as thought out defined character. Probably the best ones like Kurt Angle, but they're just that much better on the mat. So they can just be themselves. Yeah. So it's just like, hey, it doesn't matter if you're not good on a mic, like Ken Shamrock isn't or Ronda Rousey isn't. You can just be already good in the ring and that'll cover you.
Yeah, but because a lot of superstars is, you know, your character driven in wrestling second almost. Unless you're like Kane that doesn't really talk or anything, but we'll get to that. But yeah, to your point, yeah, I think he does a good job of like kind of just finding the flow or balance of the two sports, if you will. But Triple H is lost. He lost.
He loses. And I don't know that he's ever won a match, to be honest, except for two to get win King of the Ring.
So Mankind, he escapes Mankind, and Mankind just sits in the ring, and he's doing this little rocking back and forth. I like how he's playing this funny, cool guy, but also at the same time, it's like
he does
Uncle
that all
Paul,
the time.
Or, you know, this like very psychotic character.
I think they're trying to play into this multiple personality things, you know. Shamrock goes to shake his hand, and then he just goes, bang, bang.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't see that. That's very cool.
Shamrock's like, yeah, whatever, and walks away.
Imagine you're back in high school and you're Ken Shamrock, you're a wrestling champion, everything, and there's like the loser that's like rocking in the front, you're like, how you doing, buddy? And he's like, bang bang, he's like, this guy's shooting up the school.
Yeah. Not coming in tomorrow.
Not coming in tomorrow. Yeah. Gotta have to take that kind of go on that field trip that my mom couldn't find $15 for. Speaking of field trips, so we got Ahmed Johnson.
Yeah. Well,
let me take you a field trip backstage here. Ahmed Johnson's laying on a medical table.
He's not backstage. He's not backstage.
Is he in the hospital?
He had knee surgery. Mm. So we mentioned last week he had this knee injury.
They're so good at he setting things up backstage. I thought this was a legitimate hospital.
He had knee surgery for torn ligaments in his knee, meaning like he tore his ACL or MCL. And he is had to have reconstruction.
Don't forget the PCL.
Or PCL. Either way, he's out for some time. And he had to get surgery. And he's on the operating table afterwards or whatever. He's laying there. And he has a message for Undertaker. And he thinks that Undertaker is who's responsible for the Disciples of Apocalypse. And that he sent them to come out and interfere in that match. And it wasn't even a match. They had him come out at the beginning, but then he came out again in the match. But Ahmed wasn't out there, so it couldn't have been that. Ahmed's hurt, and he blames The Undertaker for it. And he says he's still going to come back better than ever and beat The Undertaker. Because I guess he was going to be the guy who got the title shot. But now it is Vader.
Couple things. Would Ahmed have gotten injured again if he didn't join the Nation of Domination and crush his guys, beat him up?
I think so.
So Farouk is, we could say, arguably the reason for both of his injuries?
Well, I think he's injury prone now. But, you know, I mean, it wasn't like anything crazy happened. He just hurt his knee.
Right? But Farouk, that giveaway, that was 100% his fault, right? Now, let me shift the dynamic here. DOA, the biker gang, if that was technically Undertaker, is this kind of hinting to the American Badass?
They think that maybe this is the inspiration. We hear a little blah 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 blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah
blah blah blah
blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah blah. We have another groundbreaking first time ever. Man, it's a lot of just first time ever.
This is a big episode. This is a big episode for us. We got first backstage interview. Not Michael Hayes.
No.
Not
Adam Cole.
No, not Adam Cole. Not Michael Stephen Mark. Michael Cole backstage.
Ladies and looking gentlemen,
young,
Michael Cole.
Looking spry. Looks like a 21-year-old Michael Cole or some shit.
Actually doing better than he is now for some reason.
It's because he's not now. He's next to Pat McAfee, who outshines him in every given moment.
Yeah. And he's interviewing the Legion of Doom. And Tom, what is our quote tonight from Hawk?
Oh, man. This is a peculiar one. To say the least, he makes his normal noises, and he says, "I think it's something about he's gonna beat them up or with a bunch of," and then he goes, "With a bunch of smelly, dirty, backwater, and other little animals' feces all over your body and shit." It's something I'm paraphrasing.
I wrote the quote down, and you had it. You had the entire thing right. You weren't paraphrasing at all.
And then he goes, yeah, what a rush.
Yeah, that was waiting. I had dot, dot, dot. Yeah, what a rush. So, yeah, you covered the entire quote word for word. So, kudos to your memory. Your memory's getting better. Yeah, what the fuck, right?
I don't know what they're on.
I know you want me.
Oh, dude.
I know you, want my love. Not only is Sonny looking better than a million bucks.
Dude, this shot at the beginning, it's just like from her like head here, just straight fucking cleavage on a beach, bikini. I had to pause it and tell Robert to go hang out with the DoorDash chick for 10 minutes. And then I called him back.
She ran straight to her car.
Oh, okay. Well,
it was raining, though. Yeah. So it had nothing to do with me.
Nothing to do
with it. Or the smell in my crawl space. But again, not only is Sunny looking like a million bucks, she's with $1 million.
$1 million. So, yeah, so this is a
I know you want me. I know you want to spend these bucks. $1 million. Spend these bucks.
$1 million.
And spend these bucks. A casket, guys, full of $1 million.
Why is it in a casket? Yeah. I don't know. They don't explain it. But this is
that all you needed to get into that $1 million was that Allen wrench from The Undertaker?
Yeah.
But what's the deal with the $1 million? So, this
is some type of contest they're having.
Yes.
And I am interested. And so apparently they're going to leave a clue every episode. And you have to put all the clues together and figure it out. And so I am going to do that.
So you think that this whatever puzzle this is has not even been cracked?
This was future shit. They couldn't figure this out in 1997.
That's a very good point.
We needed our knowledge now to figure out what this is going to be. So I am putting my thinking cap on, and I am going to win this contest. And I already got the first clue. I'll spoil it because that was later, but I don't know if you put it all in.
I put the clue in there. You want to get to it later?
We're talking about it.
I just know Sable comes back out with $1 million, so we can also.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We'll talk about it later.
Talk about it later.
Stay tuned for the clue.
Stay tuned.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Guys, hate condoms. Hate when she tells you, do you have a condom? Hate
and the then way you say, yeah, but then, like, she's like, oh, let me see it. And yeah. She just doesn't take your word for it because she doesn't trust you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just met her the other day.
Time. Yeah. Other day, that an hour ago.
Yeah, well, whatever. It was, yeah. You know, this is at like 1 a.m. You met her at like 11:59.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, yesterday. Yeah. I met you on Friday, babe. It's Saturday.
It's a whole new week, baby.
What's the name of that product?
Not a condom.
Not a condom. Make it look like you got a condom on.
And also, increase blood flow to your penis. With not a condom.
We need like the fast food streets. This is this product is not a condom, nor is it a cock ring.
But it is actually a cock ring.
But it's actually a cock ring. What was that last part? Like, we just said it wasn't a condom. What more do you need? It's not a condom. Why are we questioning the product here? Nation of Domination versus the Legion of Doom. And whoever wins this match, because this is part of the tag tournament, whoever wins this match is going to go to the finals.
Indeed. The finals aren't at this pay-per-view either. They must just be
It would be the finals of the tournament.
Right.
And then the winner has to face Stone Cold and somebody. Not Shawn Michaels, but somebody.
Somebody. Could be me, could be you.
Mm-hmm. And when I say Nation of Domination, I mean D'Lo Brown and Farouk.
That is the tag team that's in this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Kama Muhammad? Mustafa?
Mustafa or Muhammad?
Kama Mustafa, a.k.a. the Godfather, a.k.a. Papa Shango, is at ringside, though. And it doesn't really interfere too much here. But
No, not that much. LOD goes to set up, and they're not calling it the Doomsday Device. They called it something else. Or at least JR did. He called it the...
The Device of Doom?
Yes, the Device of Doom. I don't know what he called it. It was something else, but I'm was like, you can't say Doomsday
anymore. Something like Lizzo related?
No. Do I have to go do JR quotes now?
No, you don't do JR quotes. You do.
I do Lizzo quotes in the JR voice.
Yeah,
I'm starting to figure it out.
Yes. Here, do that one.
Oh, you have these.
Yeah,
up?
This is a Lizzo.
These are long.
Yeah, do that one. It's gonna be good. I just read the first line. I mean, you got to just do it.
You're right. It's not like I'm reading it first. Read it out loud, but in JR's voice. I'm tired of the bullshit. And I don't have to know your story to know that I'm tired of some bullshit, too. It's so hard trying to love yourself and the world that doesn't love you back. Am I right? That was a terrible line. That was terrible.
Get Where another are one.
Let me way. Scroll.
I guess
no, I'm not a snack at all. Look, baby. I'm the whole damn man.
Boomer Sooner.
I'm just as thick as my foreskin is. He doesn't say, I think, does Lizzo say foreskin?
No, I think I you were that? Reading that wrong. I think she okay. just says, my skin is as thick as.
I'm like barbecue sauce. I get better over time. She says Chardonnay, but I figured, you know, let's merge the ideas, maybe.
You know he's not drinking Chardonnay.
I know.
You know he's only drinking barbecue sauce.
Yeah,
he's only fucking drinking barbecue sauce.
I know I'm a queen, but I don't need no crown. This one just says, I'm an inspiration.
I'm my inspiration.
What is this one? And quite frankly, thick thighs save lives. There's been a word from our sponsor on thick lives, and they save lives.
Thick lives save lives?
Yeah. They have chicken thighs.
Yeah, yeah.
Chicken thighs
go to your friend save lives. Local Popeyes. Chicken thighs save lives.
God bless J.R., though. He's the greatest.
Yep, he is.
Does Lizzo do a quote about Bell's palsy?
Oh, I think she said something.
I think I skipped number 9.
About spazzing or something?
Oh, you can't say that, dude. Oh, we'll get demonetized if you say that.
Are we monetized right now? Because
we're sponsored by the fucking condom brand.
Not a condom, dude.
I mean, yeah, not a condom. We just lost the sponsor. God damn it. All right, where am I at? They go to set up this doomsday device. I don't know.
You, why'd you go on this whole thing about them not calling it that, dude? It's just called
Yeah, you're right. Well, why'd you do this whole list? It's okay. It's whatever.
Hey, we'll edit it out.
Hit that subscribe button.
Why swipe up?
We got better ones. Henry hits Hawk with the bucket. Nation Domination get their win here. And then right
I don't even think you mentioned the Godwins came out, did you?
I'm getting there.
Henry hits Hawk with the bucket.
Oh, yeah, with the bucket. Nice bucket shot, though.
Oh, it was a really hard bucket shot. But Hawk comes out and hits him. They're already kind of recapping their drama, so there you can tell this isn't over. Henry with the bucket. Empty bucket slop drop.
Smash. Empty bucket slop drop, yeah. Name of the episode.
Empty bucket slop drop.
So match is over. Farouk covers, gets the pin 1-2-3, and they're going to advance to the finals. Now Vince has these guys in ring, and apparently Farouk wants to get a little mic time. And he says that, you know, one of these guys needs to face Undertaker for the title. And Vince says, well, because they're basically saying Ahmed was next up.
Yeah, he was next in line, so he says either Farouk should get it.
No.
Kamaru Mustafa should get it.
No.
Or D'Lo. Even D'Lo. Here's 1-2-3.
No.
Okay, why?
Vader was next in line.
Oh, yeah, you know why? Because Vader is a white man. And we all black.
Yeah, Vader's kind of more red than anything when you really look down at it.
You look down on red people? Is that what you said?
That's exactly what I said. I don't know where I could have made that.
You know what Vader looks like? He looks like if you put on and not a condom on your penis. It's like that
It's like thing. That mask. But the mask really doesn't protect.
Neither does the not a condom.
I know.
Shut the fuck up. Damn it, dude.
For all our female listeners out there.
The not a condom is 99.99%.
Yeah. Pairs well with regular effective. Birth control.
It's that extra 0.01%.
Yeah, that's where it comes from. All right, so then Vince is asking, well, what, you know, speaking of white guys, what about Crush?
Wow, way to just generalize white guys, Vince.
I know, and he's from Kona, Hawaii.
He's a Polynesian.
Barely a state. Savio cuts off Farouk as he's talking. So Savio comes out with a crew of his own, wife beaters, black belts, white pants.
Yeah.
Is that like a custodian look? They all had like a
They thing look like they're like, keys. You know, they would be, yeah, no, they would be like from Miami, you know, when they'd say, you know, Holmes and stuff.
Have you seen, you've seen Scarface, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember the part where he's like, you could talk to any women, whatever, he goes and like talks to that woman, he's like, and she's like, she's smacking him. He goes,
ASMR.
And he starts, he's like, Scarface tells the kids, like, watch this. And she's like, get away from me, you creepy. He's like, fucking lesbian. Yeah. Like, he can't accept the fact that he's creepy. He's just like, fucking lesbians. This is what that reminded me of. So, yeah, a little bit more Miami Vice, a little bit more Puerto Rican.
But yeah, we kind of predicted that he'd have a soccer team with him, and here he is with mm-hmm. his soccer team. But he also says he didn't get fired; he quit.
Well, that's what Crush said,
and that's also what Savio said.
Yeah, but we've watched them.
They both get fired. Yeah, they were both fired. Huh,
you can't really use that line after.
Well, I could, and he did.
So Savio's guys are beating up Nation of Domination guys. Nation of Domination guys are beating up Savio's guys, and they're going back and forth. And blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah, blah. We got all the Puerto Ricans in the ring, right? We got all the racist white guys in the ring. What needs to break that?
Where are the racist figures? We need the law. Where are the police?
The police come in. The Des Moines Police Department comes in.
They send 4 officers in to deal with 12 guys.
Okay. And what do the cops do? Just beat up the black guys. Come on,
things
guys.
Things just don't change. Just a few bad apples.
Disciple of apples.
That's probably where the name comes
from. Maybe one of my signs of the night. I know you had a good one, but NOD. Nerds on Dope.
Oh!
What a bunch of nerds those black guys are.
Yeah, nerds.
Something you never hear in a sentence at all.
Nerds on Dope. Huh?
Is that the precursor to Nerds Rope, though? Did somebody see that and say, you know what? You know Nerds candy. Yeah. Tired of sucking it out of your palm? Because no one just eats Nerds normally. They literally suck it out of their palm. You need a fucking rope to catch that shit.
Wouldn't it be better if it was not a sticky rope you could bite?
Yeah.
Instead of having to lick your dirty ass baseball playing palm. You're like, just had your glove on.
If your grass stains on your knees look like that, imagine what your palms look like.
Yo, let me get some Nerds. You ever ask a guy for some Nerds? What's he going to do? Pour it down on your hand and then you're going to suck it out of your palm?
Yes, I got it.
It's one of those things you never think you about. But.
And then you get, if you got a couple creases, you do still got a couple, and you really got to. If you're going back at it, you might as well just stick your whole fist in your mouth. You know what I mean? So. The Nerds Rope invented Des Moines, Iowa. This guy probably didn't get any royalties or credit for the idea of the Nerds Rope.
No. I had another great sign.
But at least he gets my sign of the night.
Yeah, well,
and some say that's worth more than Nerds money.
So you know that this Nation of Domination is over. Because I saw another Nation of Domination related sign that I thought was my sign of the night.
Oh, you did?
It's the Nation of Masturbation.
Well, that's just appalling, Tom.
Well, you ever eat Nerds and then you just stroke one out afterwards? And
yeah, you ever get a Nerd in your urethra?
No.
I got a candy stone. It's a play on kidney stone.
No, I get it.
Okay.
I get it.
Well, I was just for other people.
Yeah. Probably better to have it in there and then you ejaculate or whatever on someone and then there's just little bits of Nerds. And
yeah. Good thing you're wearing not a condom, though.
Otherwise, the Nerds would never come out.
Yeah. We're still, like, workshopping your catchphrase, but I still like, otherwise the Nerds won't come out. We'll redo the ad later. Whatever the catchphrase was earlier, that's what we're probably going to go with. I think we're onto something here. Let's move on. Speaking of erections and ejaculating.
It's the biggest
news. There was
news.
So much Undertaker drama.
This is the biggest news.
So much Undertaker drama.
This is the
and
biggest
this
news.
Just
this
is the kind of
like I fell behind the wayside because all the other news. But any other episode, this would be the biggest fucking thing that ever happened. Sunny is like the cover girl of this Raw magazine.
Oh, yeah.
On the magazine also is like the secret truth behind the reunion of the Hart Foundation. But you know who's in the Hart Foundation, huh?
Bret Hart.
Bret Hart, yeah.
And he's seen some sunny days.
Well, even more important, Brian Pillman. And
go on.
And apparently, the camera guy, like, forgot a lens or some shit or whatever, but then he couldn't stop himself from getting these scandalous.
It's so funny because that's exactly what they said. Yeah. The way you said, or some shit. Like, that's funny. But yeah, I think he did forget a lens.
Yeah. So he couldn't continue the photo shoot as he was planned. But he was able to snap some pictures in the balcony, in the pool, on the beach of Sonny just laughing it away affectionately with none other than Brian the Loose Cannon Pillman. The Loose Cannon Pillman!
Because he wore not a condom.
And
also not a cock ring either. But he wore not a condom. He shot nerds all the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk about
but nerds. But how fucking great is this?
We called this 3 months ago when they had one promo together about Shotgun Saturday Night. We were like, the chemistry's undeniable. This would be like the Stephanie McMahon and Triple H if, you know, they had not ruined their lives in a few short months. But this is awesome.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I'm here for it. I hope this continues.
I'll cheers to that. Hey, Tom, wetter is better. And that's our slogan for Not a Condom. The best slogan ever. I think that is trademarked. It might drop by Super Soaker. We'll have to check that out. Have Kloss look that up. He is now part of our paralegal.
Yeah, yeah.
But we will look that up. I think wetter is better is the best slogan.
Wetter.
Let's not discredit the, how else are you going to shoot the nerves on your dick? we'll figure out a way to make that catchy, but this is awesome.
Okay, I'm so excited. This is just like this episode, like it's good, but like it just sets up all these things that I'm just so excited.
Okay, let's stop the kayfabe here for a minute. They had to have fucked, right?
They 100% fucked. Why doesn't she talk about this? Because he died or something? But so did British Bulldog. So all these people she says she banged. I've never heard her say she banged Brian Pillman. She says she banged British Bulldog. He's dead. She doesn't say she's banged him, but she had to have.
Had to have. I just know the one person she did not bang.
Bret Hart.
Chris Candido.
Oh, yeah, of course. Skip.
Her long-term boyfriend. If you're going to try to fuck Aldo Montoya, she didn't... Correct me. All right. Let me look in the notes. Did she do a photo shoot with Aldo Montoya?
No.
I'm looking. I don't see. No. This is episode 26. No. I'll even look through 25. No. I don't see anything about Aldo Montoya, yet she wanted to fuck him at Chris Candido's house.
She did give him a nice intro that one time, if you remember correctly.
She did.
Yeah.
Aldo Montoya said no. Brian Pillman, would he say no?
He couldn't say no. He's a loose cannon.
Now, okay, let's just say hypothetical.
Got a loose cannon? He's not a condom.
Not a condom. Let's say that Brian Pillman did bang Sonny, which we assume probably happened. If that never happened, would. This is going to be heavy. Would Brian Pillman ever die?
Oh my God, dude, you're right.
So what do we sacrifice? Everybody wants to bang Sonny. But we both... So listen, are we to blame? Because we wanted him to bang Sonny so bad. But now is Sonny the reason that he's not here? And those are the two things we want most out of life. Both of us. Pillman to bang Sonny, but Pillman to be in the Attitude Era indefinitely.
If I wouldn't have it any other way.
So we choose the Sonny?
I guess we have to. It's too late now. We can't go back twice.
Yeah, we can't go back twice. Wow, that's... I'm going to pause because I think I need a minute.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after these sponsors.
There's no more sponsors. I think they all canceled us.
Oh.
Except for Not a Condom. Not a Condom. It's like taking the turnbuckle off.
Yeah, we're on to something. Yeah.
If you put a Not a Condom and a Bloody Buddy cup together, it would look
they told us please to stop talking about their product on here. Bloody Buddy cup, like blood. There you go. Or not. I don't know. Whatever.
All right, Scott move on. Whatever. Scott Putsky.
Speaking of dead people, Scott Putsky and Brian Christopher. And Brian Christopher allegedly, Jerry the King Lawler's son.
Well, absolutely. I don't know that there's an allegedly needed.
Well, in this point in time, it's allegedly, but we all know
you don't
that.
Believe. They said it last time he was on.
I know, but King's still not saying yeah.
He does now.
He still doesn't say yeah.
Yeah, he does.
And I make him say yeah?
I make him say yeah.
Trey Songz? All right, either way, let's just get this over with. Pusky hits a frog splash, and then Kings hop on the apron. And then Pusky ends up throwing Brian Christopher into King, but then there's like a bad roll-up for the win. Either way, ladies and gentlemen, your winner, Brian Christopher.
And him and King.
Too sexy. Too sexy.
Some father-son shit.
And now let's get into our actual drama here for the evening. We have Undertaker backstage. And he says, whatever story that you will hear from Paul Bearer, it's basically a, you know, a twisted version of the story that happened to be the worst night of his life.
And he's been living with it for 20 years.
Let's piggyback back to Brian Pillman. Brian Pillman's backstage, and they're Vince is interviewing him through the announce table, and he's saying, Brian Pillman fought a fan last week?
Yeah, I don't know if it was last week or if it was longer, but we do remember him kind of like punching at a fan. You remember that?
He does like every episode, yeah. But he doesn't actually hit them. It seems like he actually hit somebody. Fought a fan. But we get Brian Pillman versus Mankind here. And again, Mankind's coming out with the Pick Me Steve sign on his chest. I love it. But he also has a little something else. A perfectly wrapped gift. Ooh, now, who's this gift for? Is this for Stone Cold?
No.
It's not?
No, it's for the one and only Jimmy Ross.
It ain't my fault. Mankind's out here getting me gifts.
Give me gifts. And guess what it is? Guess what it is?
Is it not a condom?
It's not a condom.
Is it a Bloody Buddy cup?
It's not quite, but it could be used.
What else is one of our smart? Is it a phone from Cricket Wireless?
It was Boost Mobile. Was our
smart? Is it Primal Coffee Creamer?
Yeah, it might be. You could mix Primal Coffee Creamer with this item.
What is the item?
It is a replica hand of Mankind.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Gift.
The original fleshlight.
Yeah. You want to be able to claw yourself while you're jerking it?
You know what's gay? Sticking a finger in your ass. You know what's not gay?
Sticking a mandible claw
Sticking
mouth.
A mandible. There, we got to put the man back in prostate stimulation. Hence, mandible claw. Or, what is it? Mandible claw? Mandible? It's these two, right? I got to blur it out.
Oh, okay.
I'll blur it out. Pretty good match, though.
Yeah, it was. And Pillman is kind of using a lot of weapons. Very ruthless match overall.
Yeah.
And Mankind has some very nice spots that he hits here.
Yeah, I thought Pillman actually looked good. He looked good. For everything's coming. Probably the Somas. But Triple H and with China are on the ramp now. Because he's got a little beef with Mankind. And Pillman hits Mankind during this as he's a little distracted with the ring bell. And then, like, Pillman keeps, like, ripping at Mankind's ear. Mankind's back in the ring. Pillman's biting on his ear. Mankind hits the mandible claw, and then Triple H runs in to intervene, and then Triple H gets the mandible claw. And Triple H goes to hit Mankind, because Brian Pillman has him held with the chair, and Triple H takes the chair and goes to hit Mankind, but Mankind moves, and then Brian Pillman gets hit with the featherest of all chair shots.
It's
I've
also
ever
a
seen.
Padded chair. It's weird.
It's a padded chair, and it was literally like this. It was really bad. Either way, Mankind loses because he gets counted out. The wrestling in this was just kind of lackluster.
It was good, though.
Good storytelling, and we are going to get into it, ladies and gentlemen. You know that whole thing we were talking about with Undertaker and Paul Bearer?
I've heard of it.
You have?
Yeah.
Biggest talk of the town, really.
Talk of the town.
I mean, if you go to Des Moines, Iowa right now, that's all they're talking about.
I think
about.
There's still people talking about it.
There's still people talking about it. Yeah. That nerd's ropes right now. I don't know what the deal is, but Paul Bearer comes out, and it's not backstage. He's going in a ring with Vince McMahon, and he is going to... Oh, my God. Somebody's attacking Paul Bearer.
Some chick. Some, like, medium-attractive chick. It might have been our DoorDash lady from earlier. She attacks Paul Bearer. He tackles him. Like, literally tackles him as he's walking out. And the security comes, pulls him off. JR, was it JR or King goes, that must be one of the creatures of the night.
It was JR. He's getting a lot better, but just medium attractive. I mean, yeah, she was. Like, she was hot to be at a wrestling event, but she was like, you know. You might like look, she was medium attractive. Yeah. That's exactly the best way to describe it. But literally, this was not like, this
yeah,
was
like
not
she jumped the cage like the, that Special Olympian yeah. did a few weeks ago.
Some sort of Special Olympian Lizzo. But yeah, but they're like, even Paul Bearer like gets knocked down from, like, he doesn't even know what to do, but he's just like very
Pillsbury. Still falls over and gets back up.
Back in the ring, because they're paying no mind to this. It's obviously real. But what is, let's rewind. Talk me to the mind of this medium attractive girl. Because you are already medium attractive.
Well, you don't want Undertaker's reputation to be ruined. And she probably is like, you know what? If I stop this now, Undertaker will marry me.
That could be. That's kind of what I was thinking too.
If I were to do it.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Vince McMahon. In-ring interview with no other than Paul Bearer to tell his story.
All right. Paul Bearer is telling the story now, guys. There was a funeral home on a hill surrounded by beautiful oak trees. And I was a mortician's apprentice to this family. A father, a wife who was the secretary and receptionist, and her rotten red-headed child, and then a younger boy who was a sweet boy. If you didn't know by now, the red-headed child was the Undertaker, and I used to see him and his brother Kane playing with embalming fluid and fire. One day, he also goes into this whole thing, which is weird. I was taking night classes in mortician science, and one day I was driving off to school and I saw Kane and Undertaker, and something didn't just quite feel right. And when I got home at 10 at night, I saw fire trucks and ambulance, and the house was on fire and burnt down in ashes. And he looked in the bushes, and I saw that nasty devil seed redhead Undertaker, and I knew that he had burned his family dead. And he's a murderer! A murderer! So essentially, he's calling the Undertaker a murderer, and that he burned his whole family. That was the Crib Notes version of that story. It actually goes on for, would you say, about
30 more seconds, yeah. 30.
He gets a little more to the devil seed part yeah. of it, and his mortician science degree he was studying for.
He
to
was
fry.
Going very on. Like, people go to college for that. People are going to college to put makeup on. Yeah, what a story. You did well.
Oh, good.
You did
well. I
thanks for paying the respects and taking the mullet off.
Well, I wanted to look more like Paul Bearer.
I wish I had a medium attractive chick to come attack you during that story. But
well, if you had invited that DoorDasher in.
Shout out to Morgan. But very intense story. I didn't know this about the Taker.
Hey, he's a murderer. He's a murderer.
This is new. This little boy Kane, that first time that's been a name drop since
Man,
the intro.
Killed his brother Kane and his mom and his dad.
Yikes. Wow. Speaking of boners, guys, Mark Merrill and Sable. And Sable is also counting some cold, hard cash. Cold, hard casket. Put him in a casket. I like it. Yeah, again, why is the money in the casket?
Did I just still don't understand that, but we do get some Sable action. And is this where we get our first clue? Is this where we get our first clue or no?
No, but what's just talking
We'll
about
do it. The clue. So this is a clue, and this is a competition, and everybody's getting a little bit.
I got more drink, too, if you need it.
No, I'm good. I got okay. another one here. But
oh,
we
you did. I was going to yeah. I would have yeah. asked. But
I was okay. in the middle of my Paul Bearer thing. I respect you for not interrupting.
Thank you.
Yep. So this is some type of money-winning competition. They're going to leave a clue every week or something. I got the first clue, guys. It's the keys. And they show Undertaker pulling up at a hotel. Or not Undertaker.
Yeah, Triple H. Pulls up in a hearse.
No, Triple H pulls up in a fancy car with some broad and gives his keys to the valet.
Mercedes C-Class 300, 1997 edition, yeah.
And he puts it...
Not a medium attractive broad. She was.
No, she's actually very attractive. Like, she wouldn't bring you McDonald's, though. She's at
9. She's a 10, but she won't bring you McDonald's. Yeah, that's it.
Basically a 4 again, you know?
Yeah, so back to the 4.
He gives the valet the keys. The valet hangs it up, and they say, first clue is the keys.
All
so
right.
That is the first clue. I'm recording them. You guys play along at home. Swipe up if you think you know the answer.
This will air later, so we'll already won that $1 million. And our next match, we got 4. Winner of this match goes to the finals to face Nation Domination in this tag team tournament. We have Owen Hart and British Bulldog of the Hart Foundation, and they're going to be head on, no pun intended, with the Headbangers.
You know how you know who's going to win this one? Headbangers didn't even get a walkout. They're already in the ring.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
That saves me 2 lines of notes.
A little Owen and Bulldog.
Yeah. Headbangers go to set up their finisher, but Bulldog hits Thrasher, and then Owen just gets the roll up on Mosh for the win. But we're not done. This is a man we haven't seen in quite some
this
time.
This is also so unexpected.
Very unexpected.
And so confusing and weird.
Yeah. Let's break this down. Jim Cornette is at the top of the Titantron, end of the ramp, or beginning, if you will. And he's on the mic, and he's saying, you know, I got a tag team, and they're a little late in the game. They couldn't make the tournament.
Well, maybe if they had a better manager, he would have got him signed up in time.
It's a very good point. Very good point.
Too busy buying a new tennis racket.
So Clarence Mason should be the manager.
He would have got him in that tournament.
Absolutely. They probably would have won the tournament. So, outcome, and did we do... I didn't do any research on this because...
Who they were?
Yeah.
Or their names or anything?
Yeah.
No, I have no idea.
They are... Okay. I don't know how to describe it without being disrespectful. So, what I'm going to say is, we all remember Viscera, right? I'll put him here. Imagine if he did... You know, like how, like, cells metastasize and they have to, like, break into two, and then they like almost like become clones.
Yeah.
It's like if Viscera was broken down into 2 smaller people.
And smaller is a very loose.
Yes. Yes. Smaller.
Say, but yeah. Smaller than Viscera. So Viscera 700 pounds. Yeah. These 2 guys.
It's like 2 Visceras at 80%. Yeah. They have like these like, you know, like regular, like, wrestling
outfits. They have
Vader's old outfits. But it's so loose up here that, like, their tits just keep coming up. So they keep having to, like, pull them up to keep their tits in.
But
they're twins. They are twins.
They're little dark-skinned, round people that can also have the Sultan's old shoes on.
Yeah, what was that about? And if you guys don't remember, the Sultan, which is Rikishi, has these, like, horned shoes.
Yeah, pointy Sultan shoes.
So was this, like, they had shoes for the Sultan? The Sultan's like, dude, I'm a size 14. These are 13s.
Why'd they just give up on the Sultan? Like, they could have made that work, I feel like. I don't know.
Because they were going to have Brian Pillman hit Stone Cold with a car, but then Brian Pillman died. So, like, we got to bring in Rikishi. Yeah, jinx. but actually, one of these guys actually lands. They're both like at the top of the turnbuckle. We're like, what are they gonna do? And they're just like,
one does a headbutt, the other does a sweet moonsault.
A pretty good moonsault, which is very
the one
impressive.
That Vader always tries but never lands.
Weird.
Yeah,
is Vader too?
They don't trust
like,
Vader.
Dense.
I think so.
And it's just not like. The weight isn't distributed.
I think these guys are a little chubbier, so it's more bouncy when they land on you.
Okay. All right. Back to bringing things a little bit more dark and serious.
Uh-oh.
We are met with Undertaker backstage. And Undertaker saying it is true.
Uh-oh.
What Paul Bearer said.
It's a murderer.
But he wants to get the facts straight in this story. May I?
Yeah. Are you doing this?
No, you're doing
it. Oh, well, I need to be Undertaker. Undertaker. Oh, what are you doing? I thought you were going to be Undertaker.
I thought you were just paying the reason. Sorry,
what?
No.
What?
No,
what?
Sorry. I'll edit that out.
It is the darkest day of my life back 20 years ago that I have been living with to this day when my family's house burned down. And what Paul said is true. Kate and I were playing with matches that day, but our dad caught us and disciplined us for it. And while I was doing my chores, I saw, as I was leaving, Kane with the embalming fluid or some shit like that. And I went to do my chores, and when I came back, I saw the smoke billowing from the house, and I tried to run in, and I didn't stop running till I got to the front door, and the fireman stopped me, and I couldn't go in. And that was when all of my family died. And I didn't go to the funeral, Paul, you're right, but the reason is, you took me to the neighboring funeral home and made me look at my mother's charred corpse. And when I looked at the most amazing woman to ever walk this world, I realized that without death, we couldn't have life. So I used the souls of the dead to give me strength.
And something else. What is this, the cusp of it all? Where did he?
And he's going to use the energy of those souls to crush
Paul Bearer into a smaller version.
I will say, you've talked more in the Undertaker voice than Undertaker did.
Yeah, no, he was kind of just doing
Mark Calloway. Yeah. He was Mark Calloway telling the story.
But he's just walking back and forth. It's kind of bad because you see a boom mic at one point just like creep into the video.
And then he goes to like hit the locker and it's so fucking loud that it was like just supposed to be like a spur of his emotions, but it like just distracted from everything. But speaking of how we transition out of that, unless you have any more things. Yeah. A rockabilly. rockabilly. Will the rockabilly come to do this? Rockabilly tonight. They did that earlier with Paul Bearer's like, I know, Undertaker, your secret. And we got Sable with $1 million. It's like, dude, maybe talk about that on commentary. Like, well, that was scary. And here we now have Sable. Like, do that. But it was just like Undertaker's like basically trying. He's like choking up during the story, and then he hears like hurrah, hurrah. It's just like a jobber match. That's just not gonna be.
Yeah, because it's Rockabilly versus Vader, so you know Rockabilly's not winning this shit.
Yeah, and Vader is actually I guess managed by Paul Bearer, so Paul Bearer is coming out.
Yeah.
Rockabilly
hits Vader in the back with a guitar to start this, and it literally has no effect. Vader just strikes it off and says, beating the crap out of Rockabilly.
Is he dead?
No.
He's alive?
No, he's alive, but Undertaker comes out.
Speaking of dead, yes. Undertaker comes out and starts attacking Vader, and then he starts attacking Paul Bearer, and Taker is telling Paul Bearer, tell the truth, and it's like, hold on. Why didn't you just tell everything? Didn't you just tell the truth?
I think he's trying to get vindicated, but I don't know if he knows the truth that Paul Bearer knows.
But Paul Bearer has some other words to say to Taker.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Bearer says,
he called me! Kane called me! And this the whole time, Undertaker is bitch slapping the hell out of Paul Bearer. It's
which is funny because these are actually, he's hitting him.
Yeah.
But then we also saw Paul Bearer get attacked by a medium attractive chick and just like couldn't handle it.
So Undertaker, medium attractive chick, could be the same person. But he keeps slapping him and he's, you know, Kane called me, he's alive, your brother's alive. And then Undertaker starts to kind of freeze and he's like, what's going on? Like he doesn't believe him, he slaps him again. Mm-hmm. He breathes! He's breathing just like all these people here! He's alive! He's
and it
alive.
Shows the Iowa like mouth breathers like
not too well.
He breathes like us!
Shout out to Iowa!
Yeah.
And then Vader comes in, attacks Undertaker. Him and Paul Bearer are able to make the escape. But Kane's alive.
Kane is alive. It's gotta be. Crazy. It's gotta be crazy. You have mullet hair in your beard.
Dude, that shit gets everywhere.
You don't still better than mustard.
Still haven't gotten it off.
I know what I I'll edit it.
Oh, but how exciting, guys. How exciting. And that wasn't even the end of the episode.
Yeah, I know. It should have been. Jim Neidhart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. And backstage, it shows the rest of the Hart Foundation watching the match on what I would consider a GameCube.
Size of a GameCube. You're right. Yeah. You're right. It's like a 6-inch screen.
Yes. And all three of them. All three of them. It's a GameCube.
It's a GameCube, yeah. It's smaller than your computer screen.
Or it's like half of it. What was that from Malibu's Most Wanted? The GameCast?
The GameCast.
It's like, well, there's a GameCube and there's a Dreamcast. It's like, yeah. I got a GameCast.
What a great movie.
Yeah.
Shout out to that.
Yeah, I'll cheers to that. That's a great movie. Couldn't do it at this this day and age. You also just couldn't attack Paul Bearer if you're medium attractive anymore. You got to be a 10. She's a 10, but she won't attack Paul Bearer. Jim Neidhart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin. Backstage, Hart Foundation are watching this. And then we pan over to Ken Shamrock's also watching this match.
He's got a way bigger TV than the entire
Hart Foundation. He's got a 4K flat screen.
Yeah, somehow. Did we drop that off for him?
No.
No, I didn't think so. Someone else must have a time machine. I don't know who.
Is it that other Turnbuckle Time Machine on Facebook that had 2 episodes? No. Fuck you guys.
Fuck you guys.
Fuck you guys. You ain't putting in the work.
Never heard of it.
Also, don't look up Facebook. We don't have a Facebook page, but there's another.
Which we got Instagram. We got TikTok.
They did it after us.
We got Instagram. We got TikTok. We got Spotify. We got Anchor. We got Breaker.
Yeah.
We got Apple all the Podcast. Things that matter.
Yeah. I feel like that struck a nerve. That other turnbuckle.
Just, all right, man.
Yeah. They don't got this.
No. They could never even.
Like, and our next guest, Dog the Bounty Hunter. I'm like, we're fucked, Tom. They got the better mullet.
That's just crushed, dude.
Oh, they got the jailbird himself. That's 2 birds, 1 stone. Crush into me. So either way, Shamrock is watching this on this pleasant 4K Samsung TV and gets attacked by what looks like Rob Van... Oh, no, that's Bret Hart.
He kind of goes hard on him. Throws him directly into, for some reason, they have just metal garbage cans stacked up next to the TV area with a cage.
See, now I'm back to, like, loving Bret Hart again. Can he just stay off the mic?
You know, Sean...
You know, Ken.
People like me when I show some attitude and just like to beat up Ken Shamrock because he's on a team that's against my team. And I don't know like why people can't just like my words because I give them a lot of time when I'm thinking about what I'm going to say.
This is actually a really good Brett promo.
There's a lot going on.
They tried to stick my brother, Little Owie, in the first triple threat match. What's really a threat is bringing MMA guys into this ring. See, that like that just rolls off the tongue.
I know.
You know?
We should just do Brett.
They say Shamrocks are lucky, but this won't be your lucky day. Like, just that's easy. Yeah. That's easy. What are you doing, Brett? What are you doing?
That's just off the dome.
That's off the dome. And we've been drinking. You know.
A bit. You know, ain't no thing.
I took half a Soma. I'm feeling...
Oh, loosey-goosey.
Feel good.
Loosey-goosey.
So then... match is going on. Jim Neidhart versus Stone Cold. By the way, this is the most we've seen Jim Neidhart in a match, except for the last time that he faced Stone Cold. Can he only face Stone Cold?
Yeah, probably. It's like... he's kind of slow. He seems slow in the ring, and he's not, like, quick to... You know, Stunkle's got to wait for him in some spots during the match. So I think he's just, you know, he's like, oh, we got to put you in a good worker.
He seems like Vader out of shape. Does that make sense?
Well, I think they brought him in because they were like, you know what, we're going to do this whole Hart Foundation thing. Let's try to get him back because he wasn't doing anything. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, you know what, I'll start getting into shape or whatever. But
a singles match?
Well, I know. Maybe they're like, well.
Are they really going to have him fight it by himself out there?
He's a tag specialist at best.
Yeah. So speaking of fighting by himself, he is not. Bret Hart comes out. He attacks Stone Cold. So DQ. Main event DQ. When's that ever happened?
No, I don't think that's
ever happened. When has that ever happened? That's main like event a DQ via the Hart Foundation. Wow, that must be. We're setting records here. It's the first time for anything. But Bret Hart is doing what we like Brett to do best. He's doing a figure four to Stone Cold on the ring post. Always like that move. Stay away from the mic, but just keep doing that move. Who comes out to help Stone Cold?
It's got to be his number one contender for his partner.
His number one fan?
His number one fan.
Is that Dude Love?
Dude Love, could be. Could
is that Cactus Jack?
Could be Cactus Jack. Could be Mankind.
Is that Mick Foley?
It's Mick Foley.
Oh, it's Mankind.
Mankind.
It's Mankind. Yeah. It's Mankind.
All the above.
Mankind comes out. So this is a very cool spot because Brett is giving the figure four to Stone Cold and he's laying back. And as he's laying back, Mankind comes up, does the mandible claw. It's like the human centipede of submissions.
Yeah. And then like Pillman and the rest of the Hart Foundation come out and like Neidhart and they're trying to just get Mankind off him. It takes like, I think Pillman hitting him with a chair to get him to actually give up the mandible claw. There, so it's a pretty exciting. I think pretty great Raw, to be honest.
Good Raw. I still like the other one better, but this one again, back to your point, a lot more stories are being told. We do have the pay per view coming up, which is called One Night in Calgary.
Calgary Stampede.
I know.
One Night in China.
One Night in China. That's all I need.
One night in and out. Not a condom.
Yeah. Good night.
And God bless wrestling.